struggling for a better way of life, for the promise of a home. A home built on love and courage.
We're home.
We're home.
The land did its best to defeat them.
I lose those oxen, I can't make a crop. I can't make a crop, we lose everything.
But they kept the promise alive.
That when this family pulls together, we can do anything.
Come home to a simpler time. Come home to Little House on the Prairie.
An American original return starting Monday at 4 on TV6.
Welcome to Wagon Talks, where we discuss the upcoming events of Walnut Grove, such as London Circus coming into town, baking contest, sales at the Mercantile, as well as listing much-needed services such as a new blacksmith. And the day would not be complete without the most updated Granger news right out of Chicago. Actually, no. Although that might be a lot of fun for us bonnet heads. This offshoot of Walnut Grovecast is an experiment into you, the listener, and the fans of Little House on the Prairie. In each one of these wagon talks, I hitch the team with a fellow Little House fan and head into town, and we have a chat along the way. If you would like to participate in a future episode of Wagon Talks, please email me at mark, M-A-R-K, at walnutgrovecast.com. Today we've hitched the team and we're heading, we're actually heading to another location. I don't know. Every single time I say that we're heading in to pick up stuff from the Mercantile, maybe this time we're going into the post office. I don't know. But this time, on this ride, we have JJ Hurley. How are you doing, JJ?
Morning. Great.
Thank you so much for taking the time to do this and talk about your love of Little House on the Prairie.
Yes.
So I guess if you could talk a little bit about who you are and just talk about yourself a little bit.
Sure. So I live in Atlanta, Georgia.
Hotlanta.
It's cold Atlanta right now.
Yeah, it's cold here too.
So, yes. And I am married for 20 plus years and have two amazing kiddos. I have a son named Jackson who's almost 16.
I always like that name, Jackson.
Yes, yes. And I have a daughter who's 8 named Reese, and I have 2 little dachshunds that are adorable and the love.
That really paints a picture.
Yes, yes. And my son has profound autism, and so I got involved working with Autism Speaks many mm-hmm. years ago, and I've been working with them. That's who I work for. It's been about 10 years now, and I really enjoy connecting with families and sharing resources and things like that.
Yeah,
so.
Autism Speaks is a really great community of people and a foundation. My nephew has autism, and we're not as heavily involved as, say, a parent would be, but we're mm-hmm. as involved as we possibly can be. And they've been really, really wonderful. And
That's great.
Yeah, autismspeaks.org. I'm going to guess that's the website.
That's the website. You are correct.
All right, but back to 1885.
Yes. Let's delve.
When did you first see Little House on the Prairie, the TV show?
Okay, so I was probably around first grade when my mom and I, we had decided we were going to read the books together and start, because the show was on, and I had to see it every week, and yeah. I just became obsessed, as so many others have, with especially with Mary and Laura. Everything was Mary and Laura. I wanted to wear blue gingham so I could look like Mary, and I would have my mom braid my hair so I could look like Half Pint.
That's awesome.
But I didn't understand. There were no dolls. I would go have my parents take me to Walmart or Kmart. Yeah, I grew up in a real small town in Missouri. And I was like, why are there no Little House Barbies? Where is the Little House toy section at Walmart and Kmart? And needless to say, those did not exist.
Yeah, they really missed an opportunity there. I'm not really sure what the holdup was there. That's something I went and spoke to Allison Arngrim a lot about. And yeah. Right now, I just think it would be so fun to have an Atari 2600 Little House on the Prairie game where you have to you know, get away from, you have to put the fire out before the farm burns down or
exactly, something. Like Oregon Trail for Little House fans.
Exactly.
You know? I know.
See, you understand. You understand.
I do. I wanted those products. I would have been living for them. So
it's like Carrie falls down the air shaft. Oh, we have to dig her out. Quick. We're running out of air. So
bring
it's like,
in the town drunk. He can do it.
No, it's like Dig Dug, you know.
Exactly. But for Carrie.
Yeah, but for Carrie. And she's like, pa. Except, you know, it's just like bloop, 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 bloop. So, but so do you remember your first episode? I don't know if you remember this from your childhood, but if you don't, what about the first episode you watched as an adult that maybe got you back into Little House?
Well, I mean, hands down, my favorite all-time episode is Sweet 16, followed by He Loves Me, He Loves Me Not. I just loved Laura and Almanzo. Of course, I had the biggest crush on Almanzo. I still do.
Almanzo? Which character is that?
Almanzo Wilder.
Oh, Almanzo. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. I pronounce it Almanzo in my head.
You do it. You pronounce it incorrectly. No, it's okay. You're from Atlanta.
No, right? I thought they said Almanzo in the show, but I have read articles where it's, I know. You can
it's Almanzo.
Say it anyway. It's
accurately.
Almanzo.
Yeah.
Okay, I've missed
it. I always have to give people a little bit of
a little guff.
I never heard of that person.
Or Zaldamo, as Mrs. Olsen called him.
You know what? I would accept Zaldamo before I would accept Almanzo. Yeah, Almanzo is just the snooty way of answering it.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, oh, the country club is, the lawn is getting a little too brown over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Almanzo and Laura, I absolutely adored their romance. Sure. I like seriously to this day, that little awkward kiss where they go one way and then they go the other and then they meet in the middle is just, it gets me every time. And how they made her be a grown-up in one episode. Like, the episode before, she was still a little kid with her braids, and then literally they put those braids up in a bun, and she was now a grown-up.
Yeah,
she could teach school, she could have a boyfriend, like, all the things.
It's funny, too, because the Laura Ingalls character, you know, with Melissa Gilbert, of course, it's she sometimes sneaks back into being the little girl, the tomboy, and it's
right.
always funny. Like, I Love You Not. What was the song that Almanzo was singing?
Was writing for, and she thought it was for his ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, so he, you know, she just, you know.
Yeah,
so just
she, and I do, and I love those episodes where she, like, comes to brawl, especially with Nelly. Love them fighting in any episode.
Sure. Like, have a seat in this wheelchair.
Let me just roll you down the hill. Oh, my gosh, but I still cry whenever that Christmas episode at Plum Creek where Laura sells Bunny, her horse, so she can buy Ma the stove, and then you see little wretched Nelly's face as she, like, trots off with the horse, and it's like...
Off to the glue factory.
You're a horrible human. But I hated her when I was a kid, but I absolutely adore Nellie Olson, and I adore Alison Arngrim, who played her, the actress, because I've gotten to meet her a couple times at some events and see her perform, and she's amazing.
Would you say she's your favorite character?
She is now, but when I was a kid, absolutely no way. But
what about
I
your
don't know
least...
that I'd say she's my favorite character.
Who took her place?
She is a favorite character. I still love Laura and Mary.
Who took her place as your least favorite character, though?
Oh, James and Cassandra.
James and Cassandra. Duds.
Duds. Those episodes, like, if you were planning to ask me what my least favorite episodes are, it's the James and Cassandra episodes.
All of them.
I wish they would have rolled down that hill in the wagon with their parents. Just kidding. That sounds horrible. But
I can watch it if it's on mute.
Yes. Oh, and Cassandra, the crying. Aww. Oh, bless her. But that was, I mean, that is Jason Bateman, who now, as I adore and watch all of his shows.
He's hunky hunk, yeah.
He is hunky hunk, but boy, I thought, okay, Albert joining the family, awesome, cool. James and Cassandra, no thanks.
You know, if Jason Bateman had not had Arrested Development and, you know, a bigger career, he might have gone down the path of being the Jinx from the Brady Bunch.
Right, seriously. I mean, the Carter boys were more lovable than James and Cassandra.
I like the Carter boys.
I do too.
Personal thieves. I like the Carters.
I like the Carters. I could have watched a whole show about the Carters.
Let's reboot. But okay. But the Carters, you know, they kept a little bit of a tidier house. The house just seems cleaner.
Right.
I don't get it. Maybe he. I don't know. I'm thinking that the Carters really did something to that little house, made it a little bit warmer.
They did. But
going back before the TV show, what are your thoughts? You mentioned before that when you were younger, your mother had set up a time or an event or something to read the books. What are your thoughts on Laura Ingalls Wilder's books?
I love them. I mean, I've read them so many times over the years, and about to start reading them with my daughter, actually, really? Whether she likes it or not. we are. But, you know, those books were how, like, I mean, they provided this kind of real world about, you know, to me, the show was just kind of this fun, glamorous adventure, right? Even though, you know, they had outhouses and things. But the books were really, like, kind of grounded it for me. And so I started kind of going back to like what I was saying about there were no toys, but I was like determined to get a like Laura and Mary doll. And so my mom was like, well, why don't you, you know, go to the library and see what you can find. And so like, sure enough, because there was no Google, right? No internet.
No, library was our Google. Yeah.
I was like, we're talking like 1982. Yeah. And so I got the addresses for like the places from the books, like Pepin, Wisconsin and Independence, Kansas. And, you know, those places that they lived. And I just wrote them letters like as a third grader. And
that's so cute. That's amazing.
Yeah. And they all wrote me back on their little stationery. Most of them were typed. They were like, hello. I was like, I'm your biggest fan. Do you sell dolls? And and ironically, most of them did. We're talking in the early 80s, like before, like now they're all of the places have like these bigger museums and things for fans to go to. But back then, some of them were just like a lady just like, oh yeah, I ended up inheriting this place and, you know, here's my stuff. But yeah, I joined memberships. I wrote a poem and got published in the Laura Ingalls Wilder fan club magazine.
Really?
In third grade. Yes.
Do you have copies of these things? I would love to see them.
Yes, I know. I need to find them. They're in my storage, but yes. So I made like three scrapbooks. Like it was like Jennifer Shackelford's Laura Ingalls Wilder scrapbooks. And so I had these little notes and the membership cards, and it was just great. And I loved it. So I ended up getting dolls, which was crazy. And I, as I mentioned to you before, I ended up deciding that everyone needed to share this love of Little House. So I convinced my brother to give me half of the space in the toy room. And I opened a Little House in the Prairie fan museum in Poplar Bluff, Missouri that you could attend for 10 whole cents.
You know, it's not a bad price.
It's not for 1982.
And you can do the museum in one day.
Absolutely. You can really do the museum in 15 minutes, but let's be real.
I've heard there's lemonade on Wednesdays. You know, it's one
absolutely,
of those.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I was, so anyone that happened to come over, like they were forced to come and tour my museum.
That's
but,
awesome.
Oh, I just lived all things Prairie. And like I said, between it was the books, it was the shows, it was the reaching out, and it's just crazy. So yeah, I've really loved Little House pretty much my whole life. I'm 46 years old now.
We're in the same neighborhood of age.
Yeah, okay, so okay. We grew up with the show, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't watch it much, you know, when it was on. I didn't really care for that generation of Little House, like that era. But now I like, and now I enjoy the, I refer to them as the newer episodes. But So
I do like the newer ones.
So when you were a kid, what you got a lot was you got this this focus of, you know, understanding, you know, the books. You were LARPing as a museum curator. And, you know, throughout your life, it looks as though you've really enjoyed Little House on the Prairie. But today, now you're passing it along to your daughter, you said, what do you get out of Little House on the Prairie today, television series and literature?
I still just find them very endearing and heartwarming. And sometimes I just need a good cry. And I know that if I turn on